الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليس البر ان تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه آمین یا رب العالمین. Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've just recited to you ayah number 177 of Surah Al-Baqarah, which I have named Ayat al-Birr. And this is the second lesson of the selected course of study that I have edited from the Quran, which is being discussed here in these sessions. Those of you who were present last night, they know that we have already devoted 2 hours to the study of this great ayah of the Quran. And we have seen that this ayah begins with the negation of a limited and superficial, and it might also be said, somewhat perverted concept of virtue. What is virtue? What is piety? What is righteousness? What is charity? As we discussed, there are hundreds of concepts. And a particular concept that was prevalent there at the time of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that caused some concern among many of the simple-hearted Muslims when the direction of the Qibla was changed. In addition, we know that there were the Jews present. Before the direction of the Qibla was changed, they were somewhat satisfied that after all, Muhammad and his followers are following and facing our Qibla, the same Jerusalem. That is our sacred city. But when they saw that the conditions are changing, they had a concern. It means a new ummah is coming up with a new center. And they made the maximum out of it. And they raised a storm of propaganda against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What type of a Nabi or what type of a Rasul he is? Even his qibla is not fixed. It's changing from time to time. He was praying facing towards the north before, and now he is praying facing towards the south. What's it? Certainly, this ayah, as we have seen, begins, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The real piety and the real righteousness and the real virtue lies not in whether you are facing towards east or towards west. As has been said in ayah 115 of Surah Al-Baqarah, 2 sections ahead of this discussion. لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. East and west both belong to Allah. In whichever direction you are facing, that is the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not limited to any one direction. But here also again, after a full discussion covering 2 sections of Surah Al-Baqarah, section 17th and 18th, on this issue, change of Qibla. Again, after 2 sections, this is the first ayah of the section 20 of Surah Al-Baqarah, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَنْ تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. This is not all. This is also important. When you were ordered to face north and you followed the instructions of the Prophet, well, you acted as you should have acted. And your prayers have not gone in vain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted them. Now is the command of Allah, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Now it is His command. Change your direction. Face now Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram. Now we have to do it. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Then comes a complete and comprehensive concept of what is virtue. What's the spirit of virtue? And what are the manifestations, practical manifestations in the actions and deeds and behavior and attitude of a person who possesses that spirit of virtue? So this is the subject matter of this ayah. Because we have discussed nearly more than half of the ayah and we have to complete the rest today, let us translate it again. Formerly I read out to you the translations by Mr. Pikthal, secondly, the translation by Allama Muhammad Asad, and thirdly, the English translation of the Urdu translation done by Maulana Maududi. But now I am giving you my own in translation. لَيْسَ الْبِرْرَ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The real virtue is not that you turn your faces towards the east or the west. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. But the real virtue is the virtue of a person who believed in Allah and the last day and the angels and the books and the prophets. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. And he gave his wealth despite its love. ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب. To the close relatives and the orphans and the weak or the helpless, I will explain it later on, and the wayfarer and the beggars, and for freeing people from bondage. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. And he kept the obligatory prayer established and paid the obligatory charity regularly. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا. And the truly virtuous are those who fulfill their promises and agreements whenever they have made any. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. And most specifically, those who show fortitude and perseverance in the face of hardships and hunger and in pain and affliction and at the time of conflict and war. Only such are the people, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Only such are the people who are really truthful. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And only they are really conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Well, now as I told you and as we discussed in detail, every action, every human action has perforce inevitably two aspects. One is the external form of that action. And the other is the intention, the motive, the real purpose behind it. And it's our weakness and limitation. Because we can't peep into the hearts of the people. We can't decide about the intention. We can't know the intention. So we usually judge some action or deed to be good only on the basis of the form external form. But maybe that even though that action is of high virtue, of great righteousness, but the motive behind, the real niyyah, the intention, that might be wrong, that might be very ugly. Just as I gave you the hadith, man salla yurai faqad ashraka. Whosoever prayed, now prayer, someone is saying salah, what a good deed. But his intention was yurai. He wanted to show it off to the people. He wanted praise from the people. He is a very pious person. See to his sajda, how long it is. Indeed, he is very pious. If this is the intention, faqad ashraka, he has committed shirk, the biggest crime according to the Quran and Islam. Unpardonable crime. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ وَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah will never forgive that some shirk is done with him. He may forgive any other sin, any other shortcoming to whom he may like, but he will never pardon. Twice these words appear in one surah, Surah An-Nisa. And here the Prophet is saying that that person who is praying, مَنْ صَلَّى يُرَعِي فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ وَمَنْ صَامَ يُرَعِي فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ وَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ يُرَعِي فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Whosoever is distributing charity and alms, sadaqat, what an act of virtue, what an act of righteousness, of piety. But his intention was to show off to the people, to show off his philanthropy. He is a very philanthropist. He is making shirk, he is doing shirk, he is committing shirk, he is a mushrik at that time. So actually, this is the essence. And that is why in the discussion about virtue and piety, first of all, iman has been discussed. Because it is the iman billah and iman bil akhirah that purifies the intentions. Only such a good deed is really virtuous, which is done or committed only to please Allah and not to please anyone else, and whose reward is only sought in the hereafter, not in this world. If these two conditions are fulfilled, howsoever great an act of piety it might appear, apparently, it has no weight in the eyes of Allah, nor will it carry any weight in the balance on the Day of Judgment. So iman billah, iman bil akhirah, they give us the correct motive. And iman bil risala gives us a balanced model. Because we have seen in the history of religions that sometimes even a good motive, a virtue, if it outgrows unproportionately, just as what is cancer. Cancer is the overgrowth of some tissue out of proportions. In the same way, some virtue, if it grows and outgrows unproportionately, it can turn into evil. This is what we call rahbaniya. وَرَحْبَانِيَّ تَنِبْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. That was the bid'ah. I told you there were the tendencies in the Sahaba also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Sahaba of the Prophet. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. He used to stand all the night in prayer, not sleeping even for a while, and fasting every day. When the news reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called him. He was angry. He asked, Ya Abdullah, awalam ukhbar, annaka tasumul dahr, wa taqumul layl, You keep standing all the night. And you are on the fast fasting. He said, Bala ya Rasulullah. It is so. O Messenger of Allah, your information is not wrong. Then he said, La taf'al. Don't do it. وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your body has also rights over you. You must give rest to this body. It's the right of this body over you. You have to fulfill the right of the body also. This is also a trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you. In the same way, your wife has also rights over you. You have to fulfill her right. And so on, your friends, your visitors, وَإِنَّ لِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا زَائِرٌ who comes and visit you. So actually, to lead a balanced life is the most difficult thing in the world. And that model, only the prophets could give. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So this is the relationship of Iman with this discussion of virtue and taqwa and piety and righteousness. Then after that came the manifestations of this spirit of virtue. And out of the many manifestations, practical manifestations, the first and the foremost which has been mentioned here is the sympathy and mercy towards fellow beings. This is most important. I invited your attention last evening that when the discussion would be about the pillars of Islam, after Shahada, first thing to be mentioned is Salah. Bunya al-Islamu ala khamsin, shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa iqami as-salati wa itai az-zakati wa sawmi ramadana wa hajji al-bayti man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Muttafaqun alayh, an Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. But here, something absolutely different. The mention of Salah and Zakah, it is coming later. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. It is going to be mentioned later on. The first mentioned is وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. So this is the first manifestation and the foremost and the most important manifestation of birr. If you want to know what is birr, what are the arkan of Islam, it's a different issue. Just as you find, when the question is of obedience, you have to obey Allah and you have to obey the Messenger. This will be the sequence always. But when there is the question of shukr, to whom should you be thankful? Number one, to Allah. And number two, to your parents. أَذِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So the sequence changes with the change of the title or the topic or the subject which is being discussed. So here we have in the discussion about birr, the first and foremost manifestation is sympathy and mercy and kind-heartedness towards fellow beings. I quoted the hadith last evening, مَنْ يُحْرَمُ الرِّفْقَ فَقَدْ حَرِمَ الْخَيْرَ كُلَّهُ. Whosoever has been deprived of the kindness of heart, softness and kindness of heart, whosoever cannot feel others' pain within his heart, he has been deprived of all khair. He has no good at all. This is a very categorical statement. And I gave another categorical statement. A miserly person can be an alim, can be a mufassir, can be a muhaddis, can be an abid, can be a zahid, but he cannot be virtuous. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never be able to attain the place of birr unless you can spend for the pleasure of Allah what is beloved to you, what you like the most.
This is the criterion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And we have to take the verdict of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the verdict of the Quran. We have to follow Quran. Now here, وَعَاتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. Here again, I differ with the translation made by most of the translators. And I agree with the translation of Allama Muhammad Aswad and Maulana Ali Nasr Islahi. This ala hubbihi has been translated by many of the translators that they give their wealth for the love of Allah. It's incorrect. Ala in Arabic is used for something which is against. Ala hubbihi, as we call ala ragm. As we call it in Urdu and Persian, bawajood. Ala hubbihi, despite the love that everybody has for wealth. Although he loves it. And Allama Muhammad Asad has translated, howsoever he might himself cherish it, still he is giving it away for the pleasure of Allah. Now this is actually what ala hubbihi means. Against the lust that everybody has for wealth. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. This is the rule. All these things have been made very dear to every man. Every man likes them. Who doesn't like? But actually, this is the test of virtue. This is the test of character. That although these things, you like them, but still, you are spending them for the cause of Allah and for the pleasure of Allah. This is actually what is required of you. Despise its love. That is the actual translation. Now we must see the sequence. There are six enumerated to whom this wealth should be given. But the sequence is very important. Al-aqrab of al-aqrab. And it is very natural. Quran says that the first who deserves your good behavior, your help, are your own close relatives. Zabil Qurma. And what happens generally is to the contrary. Because in close relations there are disputes. Well, this person said for me that thing 2 years back. I'm not going to help him. We do see in our society that the widow of real brother, she doesn't get the help. The orphans of real dead brother, they are ignored. And orphanage is working for others. And alms are being distributed to others. Why? Because there was some dispute, something that occurred at some time between you and your dead brother. So the nephews, they will not get the help. The help and the alms and the charity will go far off. This is why, because we are not doing it for the sake of Allah. We are doing it for the sake of our nafs. That is why our nafs comes in between. There's a very beautiful saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man ahabba lillahi wa abghaza lillahi wa aata lillahi wa mana'a lillahi faqad istaqbala al-iman. Aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whosoever, if he loves anybody, he loves only because Allah likes him to love him. And whosoever is hating anybody only because Allah likes that he should be hated. Not that his own nafs likes to hate him, but Allah likes that he should be hated. Whosoever gives anything to a person only because Allah likes that he should be given that thing. And whosoever is withholding something from somebody only because Allah likes it to be withheld. Well, that person has completed his iman. فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ.
kamal, completion of iman. When all your actions get to the pleasure of Allah, you are loving only whom Allah likes you to love. You are hating only whom Allah likes you to hate. You are giving something to whom Allah likes you to give. And you are withholding something from someone only because Allah likes it to be withheld. You are nowhere in the picture. Your own interests, your own like and dislike, that doesn't come in the picture. It's the like and dislike of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. If that becomes the criterion, our behavior would be absolutely different. So here I mentioned only because this sequence must be kept. بَعَاتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ هُبْدَهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ The orphans. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَا وَكَافِلُ الْيَتِيمِ كَحَاتَيْنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And he joined these two fingers of his. Myself and a person who supports an orphan. We shall be together like this on the day of judgment. وَالْمَسَاكِينِ I was astonished to see that the translation of masakin generally has been done needy. People didn't think in depth what maskana is. Maskana is close to zillah. ضربت عليهم الزلة والمسكنة وباعوا بغضب من الله. Maskana actually is a particular state, psychological state, where a person has lost heart. He doesn't have the courage to work. You know, there's a disease, neurasthenia. A person appears to be absolutely normal, healthy, having 100 kilogram weight, everything okay. But something has gone wrong within the courage, the will. This is maskana. And it can happen to a person. He can't stand on his feet. He appears to be a normal and healthy person, but he can't stand on his own legs. This is maskana. Needy, you know, needy is the orphan also. Needy is the Zawil Qurba also. Why any relative will accept any help from you if he is not needy? Needy is a general term. It covers all the six items. So maskana is a special thing. Someone who has lost heart, who has lost courage, who has lost the village, with the will to work, somehow or the other, is miskeen. بَعَاتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ هُبْدَهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ And the traveler, the wayfarer, because in those days, and in these days also, sometimes it happens to a person, although he is well off in his own country, in his own home land, but maybe during traveling, something happens to him, and he is in need, real need. Because there were no hotels, and no these arrangements in those times, So this was one of the items in Muslim society, to look after the travelers. I have seen during my childhood in the mosques, people who were well-to-do, he used to stay longer after Isha prayer to see whether there is some traveler in the mosque, so that food should be arranged for him. There were no hotels. And the traveler, he comes and he stays in the mosque. So people who had enough with them, they used to stay back to see whether there is any traveler here, so that they should provide food for him. So this is one of the items. What I mean, beggars, this is very important. Because we keep before us the total guidance of Quran and the Sunnah, we find that there is a very balanced instruction about it. On the one hand, begging is discouraged like anything. Don't beg. Beg only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg from Him. He will provide. Why are you placing your own honor before a fellow being when you ask? Actually, you have placed your own honor before Him. He might kick it. No. Go and ask Allah. So actually, sawal, begging, asking for help, is discouraging.
The Prophet said, even if you need the laces for your boots, ask from Allah. He is omnipotent. He will put it in the mind of somebody and he will bring that lace to you. Why ask a person? Why ask a human being? And there are so many incidents in the seerah of the Prophet. He discouraged begging. But on the other hand, if somebody has stretched his hand before you for begging, it's unworthy of you that you return it empty. Leave the file. Even if he comes to you riding a horse, you can't say, maybe what has happened to him? Maybe his appearance is, deceptive. And if you can't give, or you don't feel like giving anything, then you should be polite in refusing. وَأَمَّا سَائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. So that is actually a balanced instruction or education that our deen gives to us about the beggars. But actually in our society, especially back home in Pakistan, India, etc., this begging has become a profession. It must be discouraged. And people who give these alms in the box and after Eid prayers, that way they are encouraging this institution of begging. And they are encouraging this profession of begging actually. Anyhow, here, one of the items is وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِ الرِّقَابِ. This is the last one. Riqab, raqabah, necks. So the bondage of slavery. To purchase a slave with your own money and then free him. Just as Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala did about Bilal and six of others of the slaves, males and females both, who had embraced Islam and then they were being persecuted like anything by the kafir masters. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he purchased them at whatever price their masters demanded and then freed them. So it's one of the biggest acts of charity. And these days, it so happens to a person sometimes that he becomes entangled in some loan. He's trying his hard to get out of that, but he's not. He's not succeeding. So a lump sum type of help that would take him out of that bondage of loan so that he can start his business or something else afresh, that would be in the same line as freeing a slave. So this is the first and the foremost manifestation of virtue. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. But one point must be mentioned before I proceed further. This itaul mal, this giving of wealth, is not zakah. It is in addition to zakah. Because the mention of zakah is coming later on. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. That's a separate heading. This is actually in addition. And there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ لَحَقَّ سِوَ الزَّكَاةِ. And then he quoted this ayah. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ. So zakah is going to be mentioned later. This is in addition. Because here we are discussing who is virtuous. Zakah is obligatory. There can be no Muslim without paying zakah. You can't be a Muslim at all. You'll be declared a murtad and a kafir. Just as the murtadeen, people who refused to pay zakah, they were declared murtad in the time of the caliphate of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So that is actually the baseline of Islam. The baseline of Islam consists of Saum and Salah and Zakah and Hajj. These are obligatory things. And here you are discussing the higher story, the higher level of virtue. So actually here, this giving away of your wealth to the close relatives, to the orphans, to the weak, to the wayfarer, to the beggars, and in freeing the people from bondage, this is in addition to zakah. Please again listen to the hadith. إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ لَحَقًّا سِوَى الزَّكَاةِ. Because generally it's the conception of people that zakah is the only thing. Once if he has given away and he has paid fully the zakah, then it's okay. No, this is. If you want to be virtuous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to attain the level of virtue, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا بِمَّا تَحِبُّونَ. So this is actually an additional thing. Now what is the second practical manifestation of virtue given in this ayah? وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. Now this relates to the two most important and obligatory modes of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned before and I invited your attention to the fact that these are mentioned here after that basic and foremost manifestation. قَاتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُفْلِينَ. Now about these two things, that is the Sawm and the Salah, we shall discuss these things later on in the third section of this selected course of study of the Quran. Everybody knows what is Salah, everybody knows what is Zakah. But what's the philosophy? What's the wisdom? What's the system? Actually, these things will be discussed, inshallah, in the third section. When we study different forms of amal-e-salih, these are amal. But here it must be noted that what's the relationship of these two with the two things which have already been discussed in this ayah? Two things which have been already discussed are iman. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. And second, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. Now you will find a very logical relationship. Very logical. What is salah essentially? The purpose of salah is to keep our iman alive and active. أقم الصلاة على ذكري. Establish صلاة for remembering me. Lest you should forget. And in every rakah of صلاة, we are renewing our faith. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. We have revived our faith in Allah. مالك يوم الدين. We have revived our faith in the Akhirah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. We have renewed our pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually, what is namaz? What is salah? What is this prayer? So to say, it's a column to support iman, to keep iman alive, active, virulent, living entity. And what is zakah? To keep that spirit of spending for the cause of Allah intact. At least zakah you have to pay. You know, if there is a bottle and the cork is very tight, then this matter is different. But once you have opened the cork, then it's easy to reopen it again and again. So this obligatory zakah has opened the cork. You have spent something for the cause of Allah. Although that wealth is near to you, you love it. But that perforce you have to do. So once this cork has been opened or loosened by zakah, now it will become easy for you to spend more and more and more. To keep that spirit of philanthropy persistent, this zakah has been given. Now let us come to the third manifestation, practical manifestation. And that is fulfilling of the covenants or the promises or the agreements. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. And if we analyze all human relations, all human dealings are based on some sort of agreements, contracts, whether expressly concluded or implied. For example, the relationship of parents and children. No agreement is ever made or concluded, but there is an implied agreement that the parents invest themselves in their children. When they are young, they are spending for them. And the other side of the agreement should be natural, logical, that when they become old, now they should spend. This is a contract. It's an implied contract. Because the wording in Surah Bani Israel, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on them as they brought me up. There are parents who keep hungry and feed their children. They tighten their belts, but feed the children anyhow. Now it has to be repaid. This is the relationship. Now you go on to marriage. What is marriage? It's a social contract. What is employer-employee relationship? It's a contract. All business, all transactions, construction contract and supply contract, everything. What does it mean? If one thing is streamlined and correctly adopted, the whole social behavior, all the dealings between the humans, they will be streamlined, they will be rectified automatically. If you feel that you have to carry out the contract, if you feel you have to fulfill the promise, that is why there is a hadith of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who served the Prophet for about 9 or 10 years. And he says, قَلَّمَا خَتَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا قَالْ لَا إِمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا أَحْبَرَ. It was only seldom that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered some sermon to us, and he didn't include these words in that sermon. There's no iman of a person who is not trustworthy, and there's no deen of a person who doesn't fulfill his promises. No deen, categorical statement. You have to carry out the promises that you make. Well, mufuna bi'ahdihim idha ahadu. And we can see one thing more. What is our deen? It's a contract. It's an agreement. It's a misaq between Allah and the bondsman. This is ahad. First of all, we made a contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an agreement. Alastu bi rabbikum? Qalu bala. Before coming to this world, which we call Ahdul Alast. Then when we accept Him as our Lord, and I told you, in every rak'ah of the salah, we say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. It's a promise. Iza khada Allahu misaqakum. Misaq. Misaq is something which binds two parties in some context. So, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا. And lastly, and this is the highest manifestation of virtue in Islam, and this is the most important part of this ayah, وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. I added the word in translation especially and specifically, most specifically, those who show fortitude and steadfastness and patience and perseverance in the face of hardships, hunger, pain and affliction, and mental and psychological or physical torture. Why did I add the word specifically? Because here it is not sabirun, it has been turned into sabirin. Now this is an issue of Arabic grammar. It's not marfu. It is mansub. Wal mufool. It was marfu.
وَالصَّابِرِينَ. It is مَخْفُوح, not مَرْفُوح. Why? Because there are words which have been omitted, but they are understood. وَأَخَصُّ الذِّكْرَ بِالصَّابِرِينَ. I want to mention specially those who can show fortitude and patience and steadfastness and perseverance in the face of hardship and hunger and torture and persecution and affliction and pain, and especially at the time of war. Now this attitude, this sabr, where is it required? There can be two categories. Firstly, there can be some natural calamity. Natural calamity befalls a country, a nation, a society, a town. There might be some earthquake, there might be some plague, or so on. Or it can come to some individual. He falls sick. He meets an accident. Well, a mu'min has to show patience. And raza, bi raza illah. He should always keep contented that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided this thing for me, well, I take it. Razi bi raza rab. Patience. No complaint. Nothing can happen without the permission of Allah. It will have come to you, but it has come to you with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There should be no complaint. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلَ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. I can't translate because sufficient time is not with me. You should look to Surah Hadid for this ayah. But the second is, when you are calling your people towards the path of Allah, when you are enjoining people towards what is good, what is just, what is right, and forbidding people from whatever is wrong, whatever is false, whatever is unjust, there is a resistance, there is a resentment, there is an opposition. People will persecute you. This persecution will be firstly verbal, just as was said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Majnoon, child, just a poet, is deceiving us that this revelation is coming to him from Allah. He's a liar. Kazzab, sahirun kazzab. Oh yes, he seems to be a magician, no doubt. But he's not a prophet. And these things were torturing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, as we find in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَزِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we very well know that your chest is shrinking due to pain and sorrow and grief on what these people are saying to you. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَزِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We find in Surah Al-Muzzammil, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَاهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have patience. Bear it with patience and fortitude. Whatever they are saying, listen and have patience. So this patience, you know, this is some other type of patience. One is a natural calamity coming and you are taking it with patience. That is also required of a mu'min. But because the words used here are حين البعث. Ba'ath means war. Ba'ath means conflict. Ba'ath means struggle between two opposing forces. Forces of falsehood and reality. Now this is actually, this relates to that opposition, that struggle, that conflict between the right and the wrong, and the reality and the falsehood, and the evil and the good. This struggle actually, and this proves that the third condition of salvation as given in Surah Al-Asr,
although it has not been mentioned expressly in this ayah, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, but it is implied here, because the character that we have seen in this ayah, people who have real faith in their hearts about Allah, about the hereafter, about the institution of prophethood, then they are not slaves of the love for wealth and worldly things. They can give away whatever they have for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who are establishing prayers, people who are paying zakah, people who are fulfilling their agreements and promises. Now, can they go to war for any personal ends? Is there any proportionate view about it? They will never fight other people for their personal ends, for lust of power, for lust of money, for lust of wealth. Their war can only be for the cause of righteousness, for the cause of justice, for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whatever is haq, whatever is just. And actually that is the final stage, that is the highest level of this virtue. This gives us the point which is most important, that the concept of virtue in Islam is not that of the concept of virtue in Buddhism. It is not the concept of virtue in Christianity. The virtue in Islam is that you should be able to challenge falsehood. You should come and see eye to eye with injustice. You should never tolerate exploitation and repression. You should come and challenge the forces of evil. And that is actually the test, whether you really believe in Allah and you really believe in the hereafter, whether you are really virtuous or not. Don't take it lying down. There can be a phase when you are not strong enough, just as we had the phase during the Makki period, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his order of the day for 12 long years was, take all persecution without any retaliation. Why? Because enough strength was not available till that time to be able to retaliate, to be able to challenge the forces of evil and falsehood. But when? No sooner than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a base at Medina to launch his offensive against falsehood and against shirk, he didn't waste any time. He took only 6 months in consolidating his position at Medina. And then he started sending groups, challenging the tribe of Quraysh and threatening their lifeline, threatening their caravan routes. And that started the period of war in the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So actually, the concept of virtue in Islam is very much different from the concept of virtue, as I said, in Buddhism. Bhikshus, just spreading and spreading and spreading and traveling and traveling and traveling, not harming anything, not even bacteria shouldn't be killed, you're not even putting on shoes, lest you know some insects are trampled under your shoes and killed and so on and so on. All this is not the concept of virtue in Islam. You should be virtuous. Number one, you should have real faith. Number two, you shouldn't be slave to the love of wealth. You should be able to give away your wealth to the needy, to the poor, to the relatives. And then you have to establish prayers. And then you have to pay the obligatory zakah. And then you should fulfill your promises. All human dealings should be streamlined. But then you should stand up. You should uphold the banner of justice and fair play. And you should challenge the forces of falsehood and tyranny and repression and exploitation. And you should be able to lay down even your lives for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the cause of justice. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that the people should abide by justice. Now that is actually the highest level of virtue in Islam. And then comes the final verse, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Keep all these things together. This is one human character which has been portrayed, different aspects taken together. This whole, an organic whole, these are the people who are truly truthful. And these are the people who are actually God conscious, who are muttaqeen. Take the concept of taqwa from here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the real virtue and real taqwa. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.